Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Brissett is under center with three tight ends. He gets the snap, he turns right, he fakes the handoff, line drive pass, end zone, caught, touchdown, 5 yards deep, right down the middle. Grabbed on the play by Marvin Harrison, and why not? He has authored a terrific first half.
Marvin Harrison, 7 catches last night, 96 yards. Deron Bland's not going to want to look at that tape. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Cowboys fall to the Arizona Cardinals last night. Scores 27-17, but Arizona really did control the game for three quarters. Then they had their signature sort of falter a little bit in the fourth. You were kind of gave the Cowboys a little bit of life. And then some untimely turnovers, a big one in the fourth quarter, and a Javonte Williams got the ball punched out. And that ultimately ended any kind of comeback efforts from the Dallas Cowboys. So they are 3-5-1. Season feels extremely over. Now they go into their bye week, Pearl, and then they play the Las Vegas Raiders coming out of the bye week. Okay, so Vegas is also not good. This is another Monday night game, so lucky us. We get Cowboys, Raiders. But then Philadelphia, Kansas City, at Detroit, Minnesota, the Chargers. They got a gauntlet here coming up. I don't know how any Cowboy fan could feel confident that they're going to make a playoff run. And more than that, to me, this is the most embarrassing year for Jerry Jones. It started off with the dumb documentary about how awesome he is. Then he trades away Micah Parsons and did it at the wrong time of the year. Even if you wanted to do it, did it at the wrong time of the year. So they got very little help for this year, except for Kenny Clark. And it's just all been a bad season.
Just wait, Maggie. Just wait. How much time is it? 4 p.m.? 6? Oh, 4 p.m. today, Eastern, NFL trade deadline. Because I have this weird gut feeling that Jerry doesn't know the season's over. 3-5-1. You can squint in 3-5-1. You beat the Raiders. You're 4-5-1. Then you get Philly is kind of vulnerable. They're coming to Dallas. Dak always owns the Eagles. That's a possible win. 5-5-1. Kansas City, what do we know about them?
I mean, we're what do we know about them? They're just the dynasty of this generation. What do we know about them?
I don't know. They look pretty bad against your Bills. So now they're 6-5-1 if you squint at Detroit. We're going to have that as a loss. They're basically a 500 team at 3-5-1, Maggie. What do you do? In Jerry world, I know I'm joking, but in Jerry world, I do feel like there's a fear here that he's like, well, we're close enough to take a shot here to help this defense to try to win some games, which would probably be long-term a mistake.
Yeah, think about what you're saying. And if you're a Cowboy fan, you got to want to just jump out of the car right now because you're going to actually invest more resources into this season. Even Troy Aikman couldn't sugarcoat it last night. You know, Jerry's talking about the secret trade that they already have in the works. They're going to file the paperwork today. The trade deadline's, 4 o'clock Eastern time today?
He's sitting on a trade.
And Troy Aikman goes, we'll cancel it.
He's got big onions.
Yeah, cancel it because you're not one player away. You're not two players away. They start talking about Trey Hendrickson from the Cincinnati Bengals. He goes, why would you bring Trey Hendrickson? We already saw what this looks like when he's a great player on a terrible defense. And that's exactly what it's going to look like if you bring Trey Hendrickson to the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, Troy Aikman, why would he want, not I'm saying that he has to be carrying water for Jerry Jones, but he pretty much calls it like it is, Pearl.
Yeah.
And he said, don't do this. Now,
well, I do think they will do probably, you know, Jerry always says it's going to be a big trade. Then it ends up being a late round pick. I think safety is going to be something. They might get like a journeyman safety. So that's what Jerry, in real talk, Jerry says all in. And that means I'm going to trade a fifth round pick for a second stringer somewhere.
Well, then why even do? I mean, okay. That to me,
Jerry doesn't change. You got to give one thing about him. The man is predictable.
Here is Jerry Jones. This is yesterday, EJ. Okay, so this is from yesterday. He said he's after the game. This is post game. Said he's heard the noise about the criticism and whether the Cowboys should make a trade, and called Tuesday D-Day.
I hear opinions, and you can rest assured that, at least through my mind, that all those considerations are there. It was there before this game. It was there when we started the season about whether you make a trade or not. But what's got this on point is tomorrow's our trade deadline. And we've either got to or get off the pot by tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I think this looked a lot different, Pearl. You know, bad loss to Carolina a couple weeks ago. Then they rebound and win against the Commanders. But what did that really tell you? First of all, Commanders are beat up. And Jaden Daniels got knocked out of that game. So you win 44-22. And all right, you think, all right, now let's start working the phones and get a trade. Well, you go to Denver and get smoked. And then you just lost at home to Arizona.
Yeah, that, I'm telling you, they thought they were going to win last night. You could just tell by their body language in the owner's box when Stephen A. was up there. I think they really did not count on losing that game. Because Arizona was 2-5 coming in. Even in a close game, Arizona always finds a way to lose. I don't know how they're pivoting. Here's my question about the Cowboys. Can they pivot? They already made the trade, according to Jerry Jones. Like, can they do what Troy Aikman suggests?
Rescind the trade?
I don't know. They seem like they're a bit of a slow-moving cruise ship who now has to turn and think, we're 3-5-1. Really, we should be sellers. I think they might have already convinced themselves to be buyers. And I'm not just saying I've been kind of clowning Jerry Jones, but I think they might make a move here and be buyers. I think they might trade a pick away.
Again, this is just to keep you Dallas Cowboy fans engaged a little bit.
It could be.
I don't love it.
I mean, you saw the defense. Even at 3-5-1, like if you could get a piece, Maggie, something here, because you can't get killed every game.
Tell me if you guys happened to catch this on the broadcast last night. You mentioned Stephen A. Smith is in the owner's box with Jerry Jones, and I was thinking, who would I want to get a beer with less than those two? But
he's Derek Jeter, man.
I don't know.
Wait, no, that's not my point. But I was like, yeah. I'm so glad I'm not sitting in there. I'm gonna laugh at those jokes. No,
I get a beer with Stephen A. Smith.
I definitely would get a beer with Stephen A.
I get maybe two or three beers with Stephen A. Smith.
But actually, now that you think about it, in a safe place, would you get 8 or 9 scotches with Jerry Jones to find out? I mean, what, for the story?
No, I don't want to be alone with Jerry Jones.
Yeah, well, that's a given. I was like, we're all with you.
Okay, good. Yeah. No, listen. No. The answer is no all around, but. That's not my point. The point is, this was a funny moment that was caught on camera last night where it's like going towards the end of the first half and the Dallas Cowboys go for it on that fourth down and don't end up getting it, the 4th and 4.
Right.
And it was the 4th and goal. I'm sorry, the 4th and goal. And
from the 4, right.
Yeah, from the 4. And all of a sudden, they cut to the owner's box and it's Stephen A. in that pink suit or whatever he's wearing. And he just says, basically gives the Jerry like, all right, I'm going to get up on out of here. And he left. And Jerry's looking despondent. Oh, so good.
Oh, yeah.
It was so good.
And then I love Troy's line later after the block punt. He's like, Jerry's like, get Stephen A. back here so I can show him how good we are.
Have you ever had to do that when you're watching a game with somebody and it's their team and you don't have a dog in the fight and then they're just losing and you're just like, all right, I'm going to go hit the dusty trail here. I don't want to stick around to watch your
The worst part is like when it's like, and I've never experienced this, but I feel like my parents probably experienced this with like I'm playing in a game and my team's getting blown out and like,
oh, they're watching you.
A family
play
friend or a aunt or someone is there and they're like, all right, I'm going to go.
Every time someone would come to watch, I know me specifically, this is how I knew I was never cut out to be a professional athlete. This was one of the 1,000 reasons. Is anytime someone would come and see me, I was terrible.
You cannot be serious.
Yeah. No, that's extra pressure. You don't want that.
I'm same. My friend showed up once to like watch a tennis match of mine. Like, oh, you play tennis all the time. Before you graduate high school, let's go watch you play. I think I double faulted 15 times in a row.
You know, I had probably the dumbest thought of the night. I challenge anyone here to have a dumber thought than this. I saw Stephen A. sitting next to Jerry Jones, and I wondered about journalistic integrity.
Oh, get out of here.
I did. I'm like, this is like the main voice for ESPN. Is he allowed to sit next to the owner like that?
For Stephen A. Smith? I mean, come on.
Wait, was that? Okay, I told you.
This is not Walter Cronkite.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just like.
EJ. The journalism days are long in the rearview mirror.
He
literally goes on TV and wears a black hat and then laughs at the Cowboy fans. I think we threw the journalistic integrity out the window. a while ago.
Yeah, this was not Brian Gumbel having to sit down with Jerry Jones.
No.
And hanging out with him in his butt.
Also, what's the problem with that? Even if it was Brian Gumbel and Walter Cronkite, you could still sit there.
I don't like him.
No. I mean, I don't think if you're Walter Cronkite, say you were, it couldn't be Adam Schefter sitting next to Jerry Jones. Like, that would be.
Why not? It's working a source. Like, Andrea Kramer could be up there. What does it matter?
It's not working a source. I think that's a little bit, you're on TV, you're sitting front row, you're enjoying the hospitality of that source. You know what I mean? Like, you're taking gifts in a sense.
Yeah, but I feel like we worked at SI for a long time. Yeah. And that was like Capital J journalism over there. And I feel like guys who are writing profiles, like Mike Silver and, Tom Verducci and these guys.
But they did off camera a little bit. Maybe it's different. I don't know.
I remember a story where John Wertheim, who's the best above reproach. I mean, John's like nails when it comes to this stuff. And he was in Europe with Stan Kroenke watching an Arsenal game or something.
Yeah, I guess you got to. I mean, Pablo Torre is Mr. Journalism now. He just did a huge ad for
Mondani.
For Mondani,
no one else in the country cares about, but it was kind of a big deal.
I wouldn't say that. I feel like the country is certainly watching New York today. But that being said, I don't know. Nobody else thought that? I'd be like, ESPN is basically in bed. Because there are two teams there. Like, what about Arizona?
They're basically the NFL owns part of ESPN.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Remember that headline? They own like 10% stake.
That just got finalized, I think, last week. I feel like that headline came up again.
And ESPN owns a sports book. And I know Craig Carton actually was talking about this.
Yeah.
Former colleague of ours. And he was talking about how ESPN has to like divest themselves of the sports book if you're going to be owned 10% by the league. It's like a very big conflict of interest. Obviously, Craig knows a little more about this world than we do, but that was a fair point.
That was so interesting. And I haven't seen any actual movement to do that.
Because journalism's over, man. I hate to say it. I don't want that to be true. Conflict of interest? Yeah. Where do you think this all going, guys?
I mean, to me, sports has just followed the music industry because the music industry is the same way. Like, you got, companies, record labels that own a stake in Spotify.
Right.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Like, that
we wonder why the ticket prices are so high for Ticketmaster owns part
of
whatever.
Right, of, like, Live Nation, right? Like, it's all a scam.
I don't know. I actually had thought, I'm like, I'm going to say this tomorrow, and they're going to laugh at me so hard.
Spoiler alert.
Yep.
Stephen A., by the way, back when I was younger, used to write for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Was an awesome. He was more of a columnist, but he was great.
Yeah, no, he'll tell you about it.
Really?
No, I'm not joking. Like, he was really, really good, and he was not a hot taker at all.
I mean, Skip was like that, too, in Dallas. Skip Bayless.
So Skip wrote that book, though, that changed
But that wasn't
the
like a take book. It was quote-unquote information.
Yeah, but it had the thing about Troy.
Yeah, it alleged Troy Aikman was gay, right?
Yeah, and that blew up nationally, and Skip became a huge thing. But Stephen A. was a straight newspaper guy, so it's a much different world. You're absolutely right.
You know, to be
you
fair,
don't want to make an enemy out of me.
I never read Skip Bayless's book. I just know that's the story that came out
either.
Of it, but I don't actually
That was a long time. It was 30 years ago, I think. It was a long time. I think that came out in the 90s.
Crazy. 888-710-4ISN. Little departure there. Let's get back to Jerry for a second. So, obviously, it's been a war of words going back and forth with Micah Parsons because, in some ways, Micah Parsons is like a little Jerry. You know, they're kind of like very similar to each other where they've never met a microphone they don't like and they are willing to use the public to try to get their point across.
Come on, Daddy.
So, one of the things was, you know, obviously all the bad blood on the way out and Jerry saying, you know, Micah Parsons was a bad locker room guy and even Dak Prescott was kind of sick of the podcast and him talking it out of school. Then there was Micah Parsons kind of going back at the Cowboys about the Trayvon Diggs injury, saying, how did they do my guy dirty like that? They brought him back too soon. He was coming off a significant knee injury. They messed it up and now Trayvon Diggs is still out. So now we get Jerry going back. This is on Stephen A. Smith's show. Gosh, these guys have taken up a lot of our time this morning. But anyway, talking about, does he specifically say Micah here, EJ, or does he just talk about Michael Irvin and DeMarcus Ware would never have laid on a training table in their lives? Let's hear it.
Not one time. Not even in the hottest of days and two-a-days in August in Texas. Between 11 in the morning or when they quit practicing or 4 in the afternoon, did I never see any one of these two go over and lay on a damn training table in front of a million people? Never.
Never.
Never. All right, more from Jerry.
Never.
Say Micah Parsons. Well, he's no Michael Irvin.
It's not in their makeup. It's just not in their makeup. And I'm saying that because it was, that's pretty obvious. But we're not talking DeMarcus Ware when we're talking about another player. We're not talking Michael Irvin. We're not talking, these guys burn.
Okay, Jerry's got to get his story straight here. If he is going to say Pearl, kind of implying that Michael Parsons laying on the trading table, that was preseason.
Yeah.
Is that like the second or third preseason game of the year?
Right. That's the straw that broke the camel's back is what people are saying.
Yeah, and maybe Jerry's kind of confirming that here, but then he's got to get his story straight.
In what sense?
When they traded Michael Parsons, where he said, this has been in the works since March, and I've just been using you, the media, as my pawns to do my bidding because we never had any intention to pay him. So what is it? Is it that? BS. Or is it the training table? Also BS. All of this is BS. Like, I think that feelings got involved because of the agent, and I don't know who the agent is. And I think, you know, Micah believes that Jerry tried to kind of trick him into signing a contract without his agent there or agreeing to a contract without the agent there. And I just think all of this is nonsense. And now Jerry's trying to find a way to get a win with the fan base.
I'm just curious, like, why does Jerry have to get his story straight? Like, what difference does it make? Yeah. Everyone's talking about him anyway. As you've always said, if that's the goal, then he succeeded. And yesterday was just more of, I guess you could call it a circus, unless it's intentional. Like, because let's face it, who's not going to read that headline and be like, wait, Jerry, it was busy, was on the table. We knew it all along. And by the way, is that so egregious if you're hurt to lie on a training table? Wasn't he injured?
Well, he was. That's the question, right? Oh. Was he holding out because of the contract or because he had the back issue? Remember
right,
that?
Right. If you have a bad back, you might want to lie on a training table. I couldn't believe that became such a big controversy, but I guess it really offended Jerry. And I get it because it gets hot. By the way, they go out to Oxnard where it's about much cooler than Dallas in the summer. So you got to get
Cowboy
the ocean
stadium.
Breeze.
Yeah, this was in the feet. This was
no,
the
I know,
stadium,
I know. Yeah. But he's complaining about 2 days and camps and stuff. I'm like, yeah, you go out to California. It ain't hot out there. Anyway, it's besides the point. You're right. Jerry's story is not straight, but he is creating a lot of noise and hype. Which, if that's the goal, he's absolutely succeeding. I'm very curious today. What's his trade he's sitting on? Will he do something dumb?
Yeah, Jerry said that he has made a trade. Can't tell us what it is yet.
Yeah.
Which is actually kind of prudent because if it hasn't gone through, then maybe he shouldn't be talking about it.
It's probably
but the tease of it is silly.
It's probably a 4th round pick, right? That's what he does. He says it's going to be something big, and he trades a 4th round pick for a cast off from another team.
Fingers crossed, Brandon Aubrey gets sent to the Giants for Graham Gano.
He'll hold out for that one.
Fingers
How about
crossed.
Brandon Aubrey last night lines up for a 68 yarder. So Cam Little, his name?
That's
from
right.
the Jags.
Yeah,
Cam Little? That doesn't sound
yes,
right.
Yes, he was on my fantasy team, okay. And I dropped him, and then he hit a 68-yard field goal, and it made me very sad.
Okay, so definitely Cam Little. I got it right. He hit a 68-yarder for the Jags. Jags-Raiders end up being a crazy game that goes to overtime, but to be honest, I was more tuned into Bills-Chiefs at that point, so I just kind of saw it later, and I thought last night, if Brandon Aubrey hits the 68-yarder, then where does this end? Like, if
75 yards.
I was going to say, didn't Little already hit a 70-yarder in preseason?
Yeah, preseason, yeah.
What's going to even, like, where do we do here? 75, you think, is the max, EJ?
I think that's probably the max a human can do.
Are we doing that this season?
Why do you say that? Who knows?
I mean, unless they're going to do something funky with the football.
They already did.
Yeah, I mean, something more funky. It just feels like once you get to 75 yards, it just feels like I don't even see people try that.
Well, by the way, can we talk about another thing? Like,
yeah.
That first field goal missed. They gave him 3 points.
Unbelievable.
I mean, I went over the upright, but yeah. I'm like, because the same thing happened on Saturday. You saw this at SMU Miami, same exact kick, and they didn't give him the points.
Right,
because
it went over the crossbar.
Yeah, and it was the same exact spot. I know it's two different sports, but
exactly.
I mean, with the new kickers and the new K-ball, they need to raise the uprights about 10 more feet because people are booming that new ball. So
I've never seen so many kicks go over the cross. The,
it's got to be
up right now. It's crazy.
Well, because guys have to launch.
Yeah.
You know,
they should add rocks into the ball.
I mean,
that's
also, too, the two guys standing underneath the upright. Can they really? How are they supposed to tell?
Well, I think that's the best angle. Clearly it is.
You have to go to video to really tell. That's
they went
point.
To video last night. I was like, that looks like it missed.
But I don't think they replayed it. Did they do
No, I don't think they reviewed it or anything. But I think the idea is if you're standing right under the goalpost, it's easy to tell if the ball goes over you or not. That's supposed to be
But that
goal.
Was like within inches either way. There's no way a human eye could tell that way. And I think they said on the telecast that you cannot review when it goes over the goalpost. It's not reviewable, which is...
Just wait.
Yeah, I mean, field goals... I'm telling you, this is it's a different sport with these long field goals.
just crazy. 888-710-4ISN.
Where's the Hawkeye?
Is today the season, rather, the most embarrassing of Jerry Jones's tenure? I say absolutely yes, and I don't think I'm prisoner of the moment here. We've got a lot more to do, including some college football. You mentioned it. EJ's Hurricanes go down hard to SMU. What's the ripple effects before the first college football playoff rankings get released tonight? And we've got some report card grades to give out as well. Maggie Perloff Show.
All right, Maggie, this is the best time of year. Still, we got football. We got just had baseball. Now we have college basketball. Prize Picks. This is where you enjoy all of it. And I won big last night. And I'm so excited for tonight because my guy, Kelly Oubre Jr., is on the board. 13.5 points for the Sixers. This is how Prize Picks works. You basically pick more or less on player projections. Pick two players. And if you're right, you could win big. Right now, you can get a $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. So simple to use and so much fun.
How about your girl, big winner last night? Fading Dak Prescott, less than 268.5 passing yards. He finished with 250. And I faded Lauri Markkanen for the Utah Jazz. It was like 25.5 points, and he only finished with 20.
Nice.
And now I'm a big winner, and you can be too. Come on and play along with us at Prize Picks. It's available in 40-plus states, including California, Texas, Florida, and Georgia. Don't worry, all transactions, they're safe, they're fast, they're secure, and this has just been a lot of fun for the whole show. So download the Prize Picks app today, use the code M&P, get $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play $5. That's code M&P on Prize Picks, you get $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play $5. So win or lose, you get $50 bonus credit in lineups just for playing. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, it is good to be right. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Mand P.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, time to go. I have to go to class.
Why don't you call me sometime when you have no class?
Let's find out who made the grade after this weekend's college football action.
He is totally going to kill at college.
What, like it's hard?
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
Maggie and Perloff hand out their college report card.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
All right, enough Jerry Jones. Let's talk some college football. Every week we do the college football report card, and there's no great inflation here like there are at public universities around the country right now. EJ, hit us with the options here.
All right, we'll unpack that later.
Everybody gets A's now. It's so weak. I had to work for my B+. Anyway,
I don't give out easy A's.
What's that?
EJ's a professor.
Really? Oh, dude, you should. My father-in-law is a professor. He's like, all the professors who get like the raises just gave out all A's and get great student whatever evaluation.
Somebody get ratemyprofessor.com up. Get EJ Stewart up. I want to see those.
Why would you not give an A? What's in it for you?
People get A's. You got to earn it, man. You're not going to just step into a class and just do whatever.
What is this? Rate my professor?
Rate my professor.
You don't have that?
No.
Well, she's not in college, bro.
And I haven't been in college since the early 2000s.
I thought you had it when you were in college. My bad.
No. Some people didn't have, like, computers? Cell phones when I was in college, dude. Kind of.
They didn't have dial-up back then?
Dude, Facebook started when I was in college. So good there Lord. You go. Anyway, EJ, let's do college football report card. Who's the first person we're giving
F
the grade
for EJ.
To?
All right, so let's go to this guy who I would give an F. Start with Mario Cristobal, head coach of the Miami Hurricanes, who lost their second ACC game.
I mean, F minus. But here's the thing, Pearl. It's his team is so undisciplined in these big moments somehow once the calendar turns to November. So fourth quarter, Miami has a chance to put the game away after SMU missed that field goal you just talked about by inches that we're not even sure did it miss, did it not miss. Mm-hmm. Miami commits the ineligible man downfield, the false start, a holding penalty during an 8-play drive. Then you have roughing the quarterback, hitting Kevin Jennings after a timeout was already called. Then an OT, Miami at the 10-yard line, could have put pressure on with a field goal. Instead, Carson Beck lasers into Malachi Toney, gets picked off. I mean, it was a comedy of errors. Mm. Cristobal, F.
I'll give him a D. I heard someone comparing him to James Franklin the other day. He's getting a lot of, like, not good for big games, not good on the road. But if you pull back, I mean, Kevin Jennings is way better than Carson Beck, the SMU quarterback. Like, SMU should have put that one away several times. Even in and out of the lineup, Kevin Jennings was. So, I don't know. I give him a D, but come on. I mean, Carson Beck will have great moments and bad moments. So I'm not sure this team was quite as talented offensively. But you had Cam Ward last year and you didn't make the playoff. So you thought you were going to make it this year with Carson Beck. Maybe that was. I put it all on him. I'm sorry. Is that wrong? EJ, you're the Miami fan.
I mean, it's definitely wrong. It's bad. I look at this coach, and it's just not going to happen for them.
He's not going to win, EJ.
Yeah. I mean,
they made great rosters, and it doesn't matter. Yeah.
He should have been in the playoff last year.
He should have, but
I mean, like, they lost to Syracuse at the end of the year.
Right. They still should have put him in. I don't know. They still probably deserved it. Okay. You don't think that Carson Beck is at the Louisville game? Like, this is on him, too, but...
I think some of this is coaching, though. I mean, they take the air out of the ball when Carson's playing well, and then when he's not playing well, they want to put the ball in his hands. It doesn't make any sense. He threw one pick that was not his fault when they were moving the ball up and down the field, and they said, you know what, we're just going to take the ball completely out of his hands. The coaching is a disaster. I can't stand this guy. Anyway, let's go on. I can't do this anymore. Let's go to Indiana quarterback Fernando Mendoza, who, by the way, I kept saying Miami should have went after in the transfer portal. Now he's at Indiana putting up big numbers. What are you giving him this weekend?
I give him like a B or an NA. Like, he didn't really need to do anything in that game. Actually, if anything, in Maryland, like, kind of hurt his stats a little bit. Like, he's got to go all in for the Heisman. You're playing an easy team. That was the easiest win they're going to have. And he only gets one touchdown and one pick. That's where you got a stat pad, dude. So I'm going to give him a B. I mean, on the field, he was totally fine. He had a nice run in for a touchdown where he sees things before the play. He's really good at reading the field, but this was an opportunity to really make a statement and a meaningless statement, but he failed to do so.
Yeah, I guess I would give, for the season, I think you got to give him an A, obviously.
But you're asking, this is week by week.
And this is week by week. So yeah, maybe I'd give him like an A minus. I mean, it was a 55-10 laugher against Maryland. But I think the bigger thing with Fernando Mendoza is, you know, judging him in the game he played at Oregon and the game he played at Iowa, right? Those are obviously the two, and of course, Illinois, that was ended up being his best. I mean, Illinois was supposed to be a thing this year. They whooped them 63-10, and he completed over 90% of his passes. Like, that was insane. But I do get a little bit worried because against the really good competition, again, Oregon, Iowa's always tricky to play. They're winning these games, but these are not his best standout games. So A for the season, and he's still the Heisman front runner and probably the number one overall pick in the draft if it continues this way. But I don't know.
So this was a season long for Mendoza?
Well, I'm just saying I'll give him an A for this. Maybe I'll give him.
Yeah, no. They should have this. I think he threw a pick on the first drive, right? He should have really. He needs. I mean, we're grading him to be the number one. It's will he be number one and will he be the Heisman are the only questions that are relevant here. So this was such a good opportunity to rack up some more touchdowns. Although he easily could win the Heisman.
Definitely.
I don't think we have any idea what's going to happen there.
It's the second week in a row in a big game for Arch Manning, who recovered well after suffering a concussion last week. What do you give Arch Manning after the win over Vanderbilt?
I'm giving Arch an A. I mean, listen, the guy's in concussion protocol all week, and it was a will-he-won't-he play, Pearl, and they're going up against Vandy, who's super plucky, and obviously everyone loves the Vandy story. And Arch was dynamite, 25 of 33, 328 yards, three touchdowns. He had that 75-yard strike to Ryan Wingo on his first throw. And, you know, Vanderbilt came, you know, scored, what, 21 unanswered to kind of make this a little bit close, make the score look a lot closer, 34-31. But Texas and Arch were in control of this game. I was super impressed.
Yeah, Arch was great. I would give him maybe an A-minus, because he didn't do anything in the first half. It was all screen pass, screen pass, screen pass. And to Sark's credit, like, he totally game planned around limited Arch Manning. Then in the second half, he made two or three throws where he finally threw downfield that were great. The key is the offensive line got better. Sark switched some things around finally and got him a little bit of time. But Arch is playing much better. It's interesting, like the conversation is, I don't think the conversation has changed more around one player in college football more than Arch Manning over the last 3 weeks.
Last one here, and he's someone who's certainly rising up the Heisman Trophy rankings. What about Julian Sain, quarterback for Penn State? Oh, excuse me, Ohio what? State. Sorry, they beat Penn State.
I have
just got
Manny's
hopes up for a second. Like, is there a midseason trade?
Somebody on X is riding me on Julian Sain. Come on. I mean, are we really doing this here? Like, first of all, beat a real team. Second of all, throw to somebody other than Jeremiah Smith and Carnell
Tate. Why would you?
Because he's never going to get credit. Julian Sain cannot be a Heisman Trophy winner when he is just sort of the system guy. Right now, I think he's going to be great. I think he's awesome. But is he really impressive? Because you're right, there is a lot of Heisman hype. But how hard is his job? Let's be realistic. I mean, Penn State, that means nothing.
I know, but you just said in the last set for Fernando Mendoza, he should have been stat padding more against Maryland.
Yeah.
Well, Julian Sain is stat padding against Penn State. I mean, 316 yards, four touchdowns, no picks. Did this against Wisconsin, threw for nearly 400 yards, four touchdowns, no picks. Like, he's doing exactly what you want him to. And by the way, I think Sain is now the Heisman frontrunner. Did I mess that up? Not Fernando Mendoza. He's not the frontrunner. Julian Sain is.
How could people vote for Julian Sain?
Because Ohio State's been the most consistent, and he's got the flashy stats.
Well, who has Ohio State beaten?
Nobody yet. And we'll see when they play Indiana.
They're the Big Ten. Who are they going to beat? I mean, I don't know. It just, I can't understand it. And, yeah, he's really good, of course, but how do you know what this actually means until he plays a good team and he's throwing to the greatest wide receiving core that we've seen, except for the last 3 years of Ohio State wide receivers? It's really, for me, it's really hard to distinguish Julian Sain from, say, Jeremiah Smith.
Well, Fernando Mendoza will have a chance to pad his stats next week. I think Indiana's next game is against Penn State.
I saw that. Yeah, I thought Ohio State plays Indiana this year. They do not. It's at Purdue, UCLA, Rutgers, and then finishing off, obviously, with the big game against Michigan.
I mean, that's crazy.
To the Heisman.
People cannot vote for him. You cannot vote for Julian Sain. I mean,
something you said about, you know,
you think he's played better than Ty Simpson?
I don't think so, Pearl, but I'm just like,
oh, there's nothing to be said for it. He has the easiest job in college football.
Yeah, I mean, easiest.
He's
job.
Good, by the way. He's definitely gonna be good. He looks like a top five pick for sure. But I'm not impressed. But come on.
Well, this has been a tough year for the Big Ten. You know, obviously you got Ohio State and you've got Indiana and you've got Oregon, but, you know, Penn State clearly lost the plot and they're now, you know, trying to pick up the pieces. I don't know who else. Illinois was supposed to be really good, and then Indiana kind of took the wind out of their sails with a big beatdown. Who else was supposed to be really good? Michigan is ranked, but I don't know if anyone believes Michigan is really a thing.
I mean, is there anything he can do for you, Pearl, to say, okay, you know what? Even though they haven't played anybody yet, what about a Big Ten championship game? What about a big game against Michigan? Does that change anything?
So when is the Heisman vote? The Big Ten championship game is before the Heisman vote?
Yes. So they're going to get Indiana again. For the first time.
Nah, I mean, if I wanted to vote Ohio State, I'd vote for Jeremiah Smith.
Interesting. Let's get to Bogish, who's got the latest headlines for us. Hey, Bogish.
Guys, hello again. These headlines sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. We've got a name in Dallas. NFL Network says the Cowboys are trading for Bengals linebacker Logan Wilson. He asked out recently after a loss of playing time. Plus, since he sucks, Jerry hinted at three moves yesterday. So that's one. Stay tuned for the others.
Okay, so this is Logan Wilson got benched by the Bengals, right?
Correct.
And now this is the guy who's going to save the Cowboys.
That is also correct.
All right, just making sure I'm getting my...
I feel like he used to be really good, and then he got benched. I don't know what happened to this guy. When he was playing against the Rams in the Super Bowl, like he was awesome, and he has been a good player.
He's had some big games, I think, against the Chiefs, definitely against my Bills.
Yeah. He's still
their
captain.
Cam Taylor Britt destroyed.
But if you can't play on the Bengals defense, then you can't play on an NFL defense.
Well, that's
think.
What I'm wondering.
I mean, do you guys have any issues with a guy who has... two first names / two last names, Logan Wilson, could be Wilson Logan. I find that very, I've always found that confusing about him.
I think he has a good linebacker name, which is why I'm okay with it. Logan Wilson sounds like a middle linebacker.
Oh, absolutely.
Jerry's team is processing its second straight loss. Fifth overall, O-lineman Tyler Smith says it shouldn't have been like that last night.
There was a solid defense. I felt like they plugged gaps well, but I don't feel like they truly like beat us in terms of, you know, just defensive scheme or things they were doing to shut down our offense. I just think we didn't execute very well.
The Cowboy offense did not produce a point until the third quarter, didn't score a touchdown until the fourth. Meanwhile, this is what the Cardinals offense is supposed to sound like.
Brissett takes the snap. Play fake. Looks over the middle. Throws wide open. Harrison caught for a touchdown. What a first half for Jacoby Brissett and Marvin Harrison Jr.
Dave Pasch on Cardinals radio. I think Marvin Harrison Jr. set his career high for catches in the first half of Monday Night Football. He finished with 7 grabs, 96 yards, and that score. Brissett also throwing a TD to Trey McBride. He ran for one as well on a 27-17 win in Dallas, snapping Arizona's 5-game skid. Third straight good offensive game for the Cards, but Brissett is still technically the backup. Jonathan Gannon said post-game the situation has not changed, which apparently means that Kyler Murray starts again once his foot has healed. Back to that trade deadline, which is now 8-plus hours away. The Ravens reportedly adding Titans edge Draymond Jones for a conditional 5th-round pick. Baltimore is tied for the second fewest sacks with just 11. Because Maggie demanded it last hour, A.J. Dibanza made his college debut last night, 21 points, 6 rebounds. 8th-ranked BYU downed Villanova 71-66 in the Hall of Fame series in Vegas. We also had 2nd-ranked Houston taking care of Lehigh 75-57, making Kelvin Sampson the 17th D1 head coach with 800 wins. This was number 300 with the Cougars. In the pros, Miles Turner back in Indiana last night, first time since signing with the Bucks this summer, and he was booed all night long.
It was disheartening, man. It was frustrating. You know, just, you know, you give 10 years of your life, your blood, your sweat, your tears, you take pay cuts, you know, you survive trade rumors, you know, you try to do everything the right way, and then sometimes that stuff shakes out. You know, it's cool. You know, I take it on the chin.
I actually thought this was very classless from the Pacer fans.
Wow.
Really classless. Now, here's the deal. Maybe they shouldn't do the tribute video on the first time a guy comes back to the arena, right? So he's with the Bucks now. He left after they got to the finals. He's right. He's been in trade rumors for like 7 years, okay? And he's been through some really dark times with Indiana. And then he's there also now for the good times, for the rise, and they got to the finals. But maybe you don't do the tribute video in the first like trip back, because the feelings are too like close to the surface for the fans. But I thought this was completely classless from them. This is a guy who has been with your organization, homegrown guy for a decade, as he said, took pay cuts, all that stuff. I mean, you're gonna boo him, boo his tribute video?
Yeah.
That was lame to me.
Oh my God. Come to Philly. Jeez Louise.
Yeah, but Philly
again,
I expect
not okay.
It. You guys love being
You pride
yourself on that.
Turner could have gone back to the pay. Like, they made an offer, right? And then he jumped for the Bucks for not that much more money, as I recall.
Yeah, his story is that the Pacers changed their mind on the offer that they gave him. That's his story. He said that earlier this week.
I don't know. I'm not a massive Miles Turner guy. I feel like he his talent is and his drive have never quite been the same. I would have booed the heck out of him. If he left my team, what do you care? He left your team. He's he's just ripped the band-aid. He's gone. Why would you not boo him?
My only thing is, and I was surprised they booed him because he played there for a long time, but he did go to, and I know this is crazy for people in NBA, a serious rival.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
This was not like the. I know there are not a lot of real rivalries. The Bucks and Pacers legitimately hate each other. There are almost multiple fights. You had, you know, Tyrese Haliburton's dad going on the court last year to Giannis. This is not like, oh, he just went to a random team. Does that change it at all, Maggie?
No, because
this was a guy on the Bills that went to the Chiefs.
No, listen.
You wouldn't boo him out the arena?
If the Bills had like been lowballing him and he'd been trade rumors all this time, like, no, I don't think I would. And also, that's maybe for the playoffs or something like that. This is the first game back. I was surprised that the boos were that loud, that they happened during the tribute video. It's not even like on the court or something basketball related. I didn't love it at all.
Yeah, I think there's room for everything. Like, you can boo him when he touches the ball in the game because, again,
it's sports.
Yeah, it's rivalry. It's a game. It's competition. But the tribute video, you have to be nice. Like, you just, like, there's no reason to boo that into, like, silence. Like, that's not how you do it.
Oh, my
God. He also took a shot at Haliburton this week, too. There's something going on there. There's something, I don't know what it is. Haliburton seemed to take some, like, weird shots at Turner over the offseason. And then Turner took shots at him, saying that, oh, he knows he's protected by that team and stuff. There's something going on with that locker room, how they felt about Turner. And I think they're probably glad he's gone. I think the fans took a little bit of a cue from their star, Tyrese Haliburton, who clearly had no time for this guy.
Yeah, I know, but he's not even playing. Can you put that poll question up? Obviously, he's hurt. Poll question up. Boo the tribute
boo
video.
Boo Manny.
Booing the tribute video. Yeah. Classy or, I don't know, totally...
Oh, those poor Pacers.
Relevant, relatable, whatever.
By the way, Giannis hit at the buzzer last night and they won that game.
Oh, yeah. Poor Pacers.
Crazy Giannis story we'll get to after the break. Did you guys hear what happened off the court with Giannis? Don't spoil it.
Who is the ASAP Rocky?
Found a new brother. I
mean, it's a day that ends in Y. It seems like Giannis is creating quite a brood. Okay, we'll get to that in just a moment.
Procreating, man.
Lots to do. Got a crazy Giannis story for you in just a moment. And, well, looky here. More baseball fallout from the World Series. Ooh. The Dodgers parade was yesterday. We'll tell you about it next. MVP.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Fooled by the internet again. Darn it. Well, actually, this one wasn't the internet. This was Giannis Antetokounmpo himself, who apparently was having a little fun with the media pearl. This is the other day where Giannis was noticed to have a black eye. We'll get back to football in a moment.
Okay.
Giannis had a black eye, and the reporters asked, so how'd you get that black eye? And he said, there was this guy that was about to snatch a purse from a lady. I went and grabbed him, and he kind of turned and elbowed me in the eye. Then I grabbed him and put him on the floor, took the purse, gave it to the lady, and I paid for her groceries. All fake.
Giannis got elbowed in the face by some commoner? I don't believe it.
I mean, Giannis is 7 feet tall.
That dude's enormous.
It'd be hard. I think the national average for men is like 5'10".
Who's trying to steal the purse? Victor Wembanyama?
That'd be something.
What a random story.
But also, okay, first we don't have the answer. How'd you get the black eye? Probably.
Ooh, he's kind of handsome, huh?
Probably practice or something. But I don't know. Now the door's open for anything. Was it Mrs. Antetokounmpo?
Was it one of his many brothers?
Well, I'm not going to get into that.
No, yeah, maybe they were kids. You know, they kick and scream. You never know what happened.
He does have four kids, all under the age of what, four?
I think it could be the brothers roughhousing, like that movie with Step Brothers. Mm. I think they were fighting over a bunk bed. Look at
Thanasis lives in a bunk bed.
Yeah, no, I definitely think
6'10".
You know, the Giannis and Thanasis still share a bunk bed at this point in their life.
Oh my gosh, that's
hilarious. They're super tight though.
Feet hanging over the edge, or it's too tall.
Yeah, I did not have on my bingo card today there'd be a possibly misleading Giannis pickpocket story.
Well, he told it. So I'm like, oh, I got fooled. Then I realized, oh, no, this actually came from his mouth. He thought he was being funny. To add in the pay for the groceries, man, you are really trying to make yourself the hero.
I mean, between this and then the Woj story, I mean, what's going on?
Wait, I knew there was a problem.
The Woj story yesterday, I was devastated that was fake. There was a report. We talked about Woj yesterday for some reason. Oh, because St. Bonaventure was playing during the show.
The Fighting Wojes.
Right, the Fighting Wojes. Adrian Wojnarowski, obviously the NBA newsbreaker, has completely quit the business, walked away from, what was he making, $8 million a year or something crazy at ESPN. Quit the business, Pearl, has not broken a story in nearly a year. He's now the general manager of his alma mater, St. Bonaventure Bonnies.
Olean.
And there was they had their season opener yesterday. They won narrowly, and there was a story that he was cursing out the officials. I totally bought it.
Yeah, why would you? Who would make that up? What kind of genius? Somebody did.
Yeah, but like it was Scorsese great. Level creativity.
You know what threw me off too was the person's Twitter account then had like a recap of like the game that was real. So yes. I was like, oh, this person clearly covers St. Bonaventure basketball. So like it can't be fake. And of course it was.
Yeah, so Giannis made up a story. Now this reporter's making up a story. Isn't real life weird enough? Do we actually have to make stuff up?
There was a time where we only did this on April Fools. Now every day is April Fools. Thanks, idiots.
I know the site that's gotten you the most, Maggie, because it's gotten me too.
Ballsack?
Nope.
Central, NBA Central.
Nope. Oh, that one is good too. They're actually hysterically funny. No Three Sports,
yes.
Which is a flip on Three Sports, is this new website with our buddy Andy Staples that covers college football. No Three Sports is brilliant at coming up with headlines that are close enough to true that you buy them every time. And it looks exactly like On Three. I know you've fallen for them. I've fallen for them. We've all fallen through it No was, Three Sports.
I'll tell you which one I fell for. Again, this is a completely fake story. This is fake, but I fell for it, and I texted the group. I was like, oh, my gosh, can you believe it? And it was that, was it Harold Landry? Who was the guy from LSU?
Harold Perkins. Oh, yeah. I was sitting out the year.
That after Brian Kelly got fired, he's now sitting out the year. Again, this is fake, all fake, and I texted it to E-Jane.
I think they might have broken the Hugh Freeze story. I don't even know. They had the weird, sometimes it feels like they're breaking news. Am I crazy, EJ?
Okay. Yeah. So this is the other thing. Why do we have to make stuff up when the regular stories are just as good? So we have a Hugh Freeze story that part of the reason why he got fired from Auburn is not just because of how dreadful they were in the 3 years that he is the head coach, but he's so obsessed with golf that he would show up to the golf course with no clubs.
Come on, man.
Just to watch other people play golf.
Okay.
I mean, have you had a shrimp cocktail at the country club? I mean, it's fantastic, Maggie.
But, like, this is why golf's on TV. You can watch professional golf.
He's an idiot and a fool.
Listen, there are guys who go to Venice Beach and just watch the guys play basketball up and down. That's all they do. They just sit there. They go to Rucker. They go to West 4th Street.
Yeah, but
New
it's
York
not
City.
J.J. Redick. It's not the coach of the Lakers doesn't
it's
do
just
that.
It's love of the game.
Yeah.
Love of the game.
By the way, so No 3 did break Hugh Freeze was going to be fired as a parody. Because they also took one of the reporters' names from On3 and created a fake account with him. He broke that Hugh Freeze was going to be fired the next day. So the parody is sometimes real, which makes it even harder to determine.
It's a minefield out there. Throw in all these credit card scams and banking scams and all of that, and it just feels like the walls are closing in. What is real? What is fake?
Yes, getting scammed is the equivalent of a fake story in sports.
How many new credit cards I've had to get in the last 6 months? It's an abomination.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.